You know, I always say to make smart financial decisions. So let me ask you this. What exactly is that old car in your driveway doing for you right now? Seriously, is it an extra car nobody drives anymore? Maybe it doesn't run. Do you keep saying you'll sell it one weekend and suddenly it's been 2 years? Meanwhile, it's taking up space, costing you money, and slowly becoming part of the landscape. Here's the easy solution. Donate it to Cars for Kids. And yes, it's that Cars for Kids. The one with the jingle you absolutely know already. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Here's why people love to donate to Cars for Kids. It's ridiculously simple. You go to carsforkids.org/Jill. That's Cars with a K. Answer a few simple questions and you're done. They'll come pick up the vehicle for free, tow it away, handle the paperwork, and you'll receive a tax-deductible receipt. Done. Cars for Kids has been doing this for over 30 years and has accepted more than 1 million vehicle donations. So if you've got a car you're not using, turn it into something meaningful. Go to carsforkids.org/Jill. That's Cars with a K. And fair warning, now that jingle is going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Alma. I think a lot of people put off therapy not because they don't want help, but because finding the right therapist feels like such a process. I know I've experienced that, digging through options, trying to understand insurance, and not knowing if I'd actually click with someone. Alma simplifies all of that. They've built a network of over 26,000 therapists nationwide, and you can browse their directory without signing up. You can filter for exactly what you're looking for, whether that's someone who shares your background, specializes in something specific, or takes your insurance. Clients with insurance pay $20 on average, and 98% of Alma therapists accept insurance. And with their free insurance cost estimator, you'll know exactly what you'll pay before your first session. Most people find their match on the first try, and 95% connect with a therapist within a week. Over 80% of people report feeling better within 6 months. Get started now at HelloAlma.com/money. That's HelloAlma.com/MONEY. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, June 23rd, and we are here talking about whatever is in front of you financially. If you need some guidance, if you need a Sherpa to take all that emotional baggage you're carrying around about your financial life or about some big decision you're trying to make, get in touch with us. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, write us a note. And if you want to join us on the air live, just check the box. There's one box for audio, one for video. That way we can have you on either of our shows, either this one or our other video YouTube show, Money Moves. You will check that out. It's all living on the website. While you're on the website, don't forget to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It comes out on Fridays. Mark does such a good job putting that together. That will also entitle you to our blog. Okay, so let's get to you. Today, we are joined by Rich, who listens to us in California. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hi, Jill and Mark. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's going on?
Oh, well, you know, right now, nothing, just talking to you, but, you know, a lot of life changes coming up ahead.
Okay. What changes?
Well, you know, I'm approaching a milestone birthday. I'm turning 50 in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. I don't think the life changes necessarily are being spurred by that, but, you know, it's in the context of turning 50 and being closer to retirement than being a young man. So I'm sort of decided to upend my life and quit my job.
I love this. I hope you have piles of money to do that.
Well, that's what you're going to tell me, right?
Okay. Okay. Wait. So are you working currently?
I am. So, you know, it's a very amicable separation. So I'm still working. I'm committed until they find my replacement. So my plan is to basically take a sabbatical of sorts and maybe mm-hmm. travel for about 6 months and then kind of head back to, the big city. I'm currently in a city that's not so big. It's mm-hmm. gorgeous, but very expensive. And I'm realizing I'm more of a city boy than a beach boy.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. How much do you earn right now, Rich?
Just short of 200. I think with the next pay raise, I'm going to be at about 200.
Okay. Are you single, partnered, married?
I'm very single.
Very single. Mark, did you hear that? Very single. When you say very single, do you mean because you want to be or because you're like, I've had it with dating?
Probably because I want to be, but you know, okay. I'm open to a relationship. So
okay.
But right Mark, now it hasn't been a priority, I guess.
Mark, put him in the queue for the Jill and Mark dating app. Okay. So we don't have one. We just always talk about it. Okay. So you make 200 grand a year. Mm-hmm. You're a single guy. So we just got to manage what's ahead of you. And so what have you done in terms of saving that might give you permission to do this? So let's talk about retirement savings. What have you accumulated?
All right, let's see. In terms of, I have a rollover IRA with about $340,000 in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that's a traditional portion. And then the Roth portion is about $105,000.
Okay.
Well, in my current work retirement, I have about 137,000. I think about 15,000 is Roth.
Okay. And what else?
I have just a random Roth with 31,000.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And then it's a really small traditional IRA that I have that's only about $1,700.
Okay. All right. And what about brokerage account?
Brokerage, about 165.
And savings, cash on hand?
Cash, about 85,000.
Will you be entitled to a pension from this current job?
No.
Okay.
And, oh, I also have an HSA of 27,000.
Great. Great. Okay. When you look at the, you know, I want to take a sabbatical, I want to get out of this. So you want to keep working. You don't necessarily want to keep doing this. What is it? What do you think you can earn on the other side of this transition?
You know what? I think I can earn. So currently I'm making about 200. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm, the question I'm asking for you is like, well, what's the lowest that I can kind of really like look at? So I think I could potentially earn even if I did just a smaller organization, something that's kind of consulting, about 100,000 at least.
Okay. So we want to try to solve for this. Can I make this change? And I mean, you've already given your notice, right? This is already happening. So you want to know, could I just do something else? Could I make 100? Can that take me through for a while? And then I feel like maybe behind this, you're saying that you would work longer at that level, but at where you are right now, you're not going to last till your 60s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of other questions. Do you own your home?
No, I rent.
Okay. What's your rent right now?
Here it's $3,500 a month.
Would it rise or fall wherever you go next?
It'll probably go down about at least $1,000 a month.
Right now, what do you figure you spend, including that higher rent, that $3,500? Mm-hmm. What do you think you spend on a monthly basis?
Currently, like for annually, it's about $6,500 per month, and that's including vacations and, you know, little treats for myself.
Okay. I know you deserve it. So it would be $5,500 a month in your next iteration after you finish this up. So $5,500. Well, obviously, if you earn $100-ish, you can definitely cover that $6,500 or $5,500, right? You could do that.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, would you be able to save anything? Because you have a nice chunk of money that you have saved, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to earn let's just make it even $120,000, just because I like nice round numbers. You know, you do live in a high tax state. So, you know, to generate enough income to cover your $5,500 a month that you think you will need, you know, you're going to need to work for a while. And I guess the question would be how much you could actually put away in retirement. And so I think if you said to me, well, you know what I want to do? I want to like start being a teacher and I'm going to put, you know, 20 years into a system and I'll have a little pension. That's one thing. But the 100 or 120, you're still going to need to contribute to retirement because you don't have enough money saved right now to produce $5,500 a month in the future, you know, even if we inflated it. So what I would say is I'm going to turn it around to you. You've already made this decision. It's fine. You go and you make you want to like hang out and, you know, have some time to decompress 3 months, 6 months, whatever it ends up. It can't be much more than that because you just don't have that much money to set aside. And then we have to think about what you will do going forward. So if you get this job for $100,000 or $120,000, how much are you contributing right now to a retirement, to your current retirement account where you have the $137,000? How much, what percentage are you putting away?
Oh, I'm currently maxing it. And I think I know definitely for sure if, you know, going down, I probably won't be able to max it. So
right.
One of the calculations, it's like, how low can I go and would I still be on track? I have a goal of perhaps retiring at 60. How do I keep myself on that trajectory if, you know, if I'm going to take a pay cut? Mm.
So I'll get Mark's opinion. I don't think it's 60 for you. I think if you're going to do this, then I think it's more like you have to earn not 100, but 120. I think you still have to put away 10 or 15% into your retirement account. And I think you're going to have to work till you're 65, unless you get a job that has incredible benefits and incredible matching that has something extra that we're not counting in. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you because I was just playing with the numbers. I don't know what he's going to be able to put away when he finds his new job, but let's just hypothetically say he can somehow manage to squirrel away, you know, 15 grand a year for the next 10 years. That's going to give him, you know, like 1.6-ish, $1.7 million. So not quite enough to generate what he needs at 60. Yeah.
I was thinking that he wouldn't be able to put 15 grand a year. I was thinking more like he would do like probably 10 or 12 grand a year, you know, which would be 10 or 12%. Maybe there is some match, which would be hopeful, and that you do it deeper into your 60s. If you really want 60, I think you're going to have to get a job, Rich, that pays more, and you'll have to save more. So it's really a question that, you know, this is a very interesting moment in your life. This is a huge pivot point for you. It's a moment where you're saying, I need to reset, and I'm with you. I like a reset. Believe me, I wrote a whole book about it. But I think you might feel differently about 60 if you had a job and you lived in a place where you felt better, right?
Yeah.
And so the question becomes, you know, essentially, could you work longer and be happy in the job and put away, you know, that 10 or 12 grand a year into a retirement account and keep doing it? You can keep testing these numbers. Listen, I could be wrong. If the market is ripping for another 10, 12 years, you might get to your 60, 61st, 62nd birthday and be like, I'm here. It's great. I wouldn't want to put a plan together that relies on that. So I get it. I think you go do your thing, but I think as you look ahead and maybe during this sabbatical, you start interviewing a little bit and you start feeling differently and you see what is out there and what's available. If you found a job at $150,000, you're like, oh, actually I could do that, or $135,000, the numbers might work a little better. That's what I think. Does this surprise you or not?
Not really. And honestly, like what you're saying totally makes sense to me as well. Before this job that I'm currently at, the one that I'm leaving, I took I was making much less. And so I kind of went for the money. And I think when I'm realizing now, it's like I'd rather have a job that I enjoy than kind of the stress and the, you know, so I'm kind of in that situation right now where I think I have a little bit of, you know, I have some savings that are sort of insurance that's allowing me to just go ahead and, you know, quit this high paying job and maybe settle for something that's a little more satisfying. And I think if I did find a job that was more, you know, along something that I'm enjoying, it's an organization that I care for, I could definitely work past 60.
I think that you're wrestling with a very common, I would say mid to, you know, well, I'm just going to say mid-career, like 5/8 career, right? As you said, a little bit closer to the end than the beginning. But I think that this is a really fascinating question. And this came up a lot during the pandemic. It keeps coming up for people like you, which is, I'm working really hard. I'm doing like everything I was supposed to do. I don't think I can continue this pace and this process of like saving for the next 15 years. What are my alternatives?
Yeah.
And so, you know, some people are like, I would rather work my butt off for 8 more years and really be done. Or it's like, could I enjoy myself? Could I enjoy the ride a little bit more? And, you know, I'm all about enjoying the ride. I'm not like built to say like, oh, I must make as much money as I can for as long as I can. That's just not the way I roll. Otherwise, I would have just stayed in financial services and never gone into media. So I think longevity matters. And I think it's worth considering. And I think that when the sabbatical is going on, these are the kinds of questions you ask yourself when you're not really consumed with the work you have to do.
Yeah.
So I like it. I think it all sounds good. So how long do you think you'll be in the current job?
Maybe another 3 months. So, you know, we're kind of like, it's funny because I'm sort of hiring my replacement and we're not getting a lot of, traction right now, but I think I might be here till at least October.
Okay.
And I have one quick question. So
sure.
When I leave, I'll probably wind up cashing, getting paid out for my vacation. It's going to be adding up to, the way I'm calculating, it's about $30,000. Should I hold on to that as cash?
Yes.
Or should I?
Okay. Yes. Yes. That cash is, you know, when you're in a time of transition, cash is king, queen, prince, and princess.
Okay.
I mean, absolutely. More money on hand is better during the transition period.
Because I might have like $120,000 in cash at that point.
That's fine. So go buy a CD. Buy a 6 month CD. Just like have it set aside.
Okay. Yeah, I've been building a T-bill ladder of sorts.
Perfect. So. Perfect. I love it. Good luck to you. Hey, gang, are you at a 5/8 life crisis, work life crisis, work like balance crisis? It doesn't have to be. It can happen at any time in your life. And if you're on a path and you just need to figure out how to get to a different pathway, get in touch with us. Go to JillOnMoney.com. Click the Contact Us button. Write us a note. If you would like to join us on the air, check that box for audio or video. We'll get it arranged. And of course, please do subscribe to the free weekly newsletter, which comes out on Fridays. And you might want to even buy my book, The Great Money Reset, because that is the premise of that book was based on conversations like this one, where we just want to try to outline the steps that you need to turn the chaos that's in your head into opportunity. And that is the goal here, gang. Lots of opportunity. You can subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. Put your hands metaphorically on someone's back. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.